Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
And we welcome you into this Wednesday edition, this hump day edition of the Locked On Stars podcast, episode 145. This one brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and go ahead and tell them that Locked On sent you while you're there. I'm Josh Clark, the Dallas correspondent at NHL.com, joined as always by my co-host Kenneth Nash, whose software, recording software, is now working.
Hopefully.
So this is Kenneth and I's like 11th try to record an episode tonight. Most of them have ended, have died out, fizzled out in the first 45 seconds to a minute. But one of our most recent ones went about 25 minutes in, and then Kenneth's lovely GarageBand decided to crash. But regardless, we're here now, Kenneth, and hopefully we have smooth sailing ahead.
Yeah, that would be nice. Occasionally we have these episodes where we
just can't seem to get through them.
Yeah, we just can't do them. This would not be the worst. We did have one episode, what was a couple weeks ago, where we recorded the entire episode, and we're talking like it was like a 40-minute long episode.
Yeah,
and we got to the end of it, and we went, yeah, that one kind of was crap. So and then
that
completely
one, and
recorded.
Then, even in
that
like
was the
our
award
second
show.
Week. Even in our second week, we did one where we're like 30 minutes in. We're like, nope, we don't like this. So we've done it before. It shows dedication, Kenneth. It shows moral fiber. We want to give the best possible product. We want to put out the best possible episode. And that's what we're going to do. But Kenneth, all we have to do at this point is just recall those 25 minutes and just basically repeat and regurgitate what we said the first time around. And it should be easy. These 25 minutes should go by really quickly.
That would be nice.
But hey, all of that aside, we've got a really good show for y'all here today. Plenty to talk about regarding the Dallas Stars, regarding the Central Division, regarding draft prospects as well. We're going to touch on a little bit of everything. We have yet to cover the final four picks for the Dallas Stars in the 2020 NHL entry draft. That was kind of mobbed by end of season media availability for Jim Nill and the first day of free agency. Kind of didn't have a chance to squeeze all of that in those final two episodes of last week. And then on top of that, we're going to talk about what else we're going to talk about? NHL Central Division. We're going to talk about some of the Central Division moves by other teams, not only key free agent departures, but key free agent arrivals or trade arrivals and departures as well. But to start it off, Kenneth, we got to talk about Tyler Seguin for a little bit. Because if you did not already see the news on Tuesday, the Boston Bruins reported that David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand, of course, two of the top players in the NHL, two of the Bruins, arguably the Bruins' two top players, both will likely not be ready for the start of next season, Kenneth. Now, once again, we don't know when the season is going to start exactly. The target date is January 1st, but that's still a fluid date. It could start off January 1st, Kenneth. It might not start till February. We're just not sure, but it's going to, at the very earliest, is January 1st at this point. And that is noteworthy for Tyler Seguin, Kenneth, because last Thursday in end-of-season media availability, Jim Nill mentioned that Tyler Seguin would probably be the only player on the roster not ready for a January 1st start date due to a torn labrum in his hip that he suffered during the Stanley Cup playoffs. Nill mentioned that he is currently talking to doctors, looking at all the options for surgery on that torn labrum, and that they're hoping to get it done as soon as possible. He said, we'll get it taken care of as soon as possible. We don't know the start of the season, so that's why we want to get it done as soon as possible. If he gets the surgery in the next 2 or 3 weeks, let's say November 1st, that's 4 months. A four-month recovery means he would miss time, but the tough part in all of that is nobody knows the time frame. But Kenneth, as we heard from the Bruins on Tuesday, David Pastrnak also had a torn labrum in his hip, had surgery on it to repair it on September 16th, and the set recovery or rehab time is 5 months for David Pastrnak. Now, every player is different, and every injury is different, even if it's to the same cartilage. But also, by the way, Kenneth and I, in our first episode, first go through, we spent about 30 seconds trying to figure out what exactly a labrum was, if it was a tendon, if it was a ligament, if it was cartilage. But we got on cartilage. But Kenneth, a 4 to 5 month recovery means that Tyler Seguin will likely miss time, whether it starts January, starts February, even starts March. Tyler Seguin will likely miss some time if his surgery happens by the end of October or early November.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And you look at January 1st, that is a date that makes sense as a target start date for the NHL. It gives them a couple of months of an off season. It lets them start up training camp in mid to late December. And kind of try to go from there, and so probably mid-December, I guess, early to mid-December, not mid to late. But then, and then go from there. Obviously, there's a lot of factors going into it. Specifically, you know, how is the COVID-19 pandemic? How is that tracking? The ability to potentially have fans in the stadium, in the arena, not necessarily in the stadium, in the arena. Although I guess maybe in the stadium for if they open the season with the Winter Classic potentially. And so all those factors kind of play into when the start of the season might occur. But regardless, it does look like Tyler Seguin's probably going to miss potentially a month, potentially 2 months. If you look at, you know, a month more on probably the aggressive recovery timeline, a more conservative estimate would be a couple of months. And that's a blow for the Dallas Stars, because Tyler Seguin, obviously, there's no secret, he's still one of the best players on this team, if not the best player on this team, especially in that forward group. And whenever you're going to miss one of those player of his caliber for a long time, it's a blow, because you can't just, it's not just a plug and play. As much as the Stars like to have that next man up plug and play mentality, there's a drop off when you're talking about a player the caliber of Tyler Seguin to whoever is going to fill that role. There's just that void. There's just a difference in ability. And so it's going to be a blow. The Stars are going to have to figure out a way to kind of cope with it. Hopefully, you know, all players are different. All recovery timelines are different for each player, rehabbing, everything like that. Hopefully it's on the shorter side, because if he is, then I think the Stars can survive potentially with kind of a patchwork of guys they've got already at the NHL level. You look at the guys they have, they can play center. It's still a pretty talented group. So hopefully that's the case. If it goes a little bit longer, they may have to kind of look for some creative options in terms of filling that void, because the whole key is you don't want to adjust your style of play for all of your lines to fill the void of just Tyler Seguin. You want to keep things as consistent as possible, so when he is healthy, players aren't having to readjust and adjust to a new system, a new style, a new position, a new role halfway through the season. They can continue doing what they're doing, and you just pull out whoever was in that Tyler Seguin role and drop Tyler Seguin in. That would be an ideal thing. So it'll be interesting to see how the Stars kind of face this issue. But nonetheless, it is a pretty big blow for the Stars.
Yeah, and of course, as we've said, and we're going to continue to say this, with the unexpected timetable for the NHL, and unexpected, we don't even know how the Dallas Stars are going to look when next season starts. Can it? The lines, you know, it's always that kind of wait and see factor throughout the offseason. Even when you sign new free agents during a typical July 1st, everybody's always guessing, oh, could the lines look like this? Could the lines look like that? And then opening night comes around and the lines look totally different. Most people never get it right when they guess, Kenneth. So certainly lots of stuff still up in the air. Lots of stuff that still has to be decided, not only for the Dallas Stars, but for filling that void that Tyler Seguin's going to leave during his recovery time. Certainly do wish Tyler the best, though, in that surgery and in that recovery period. Kenneth, hopefully a successful surgery and a quick path to recovery. But in that meantime, Kenneth, and when that season begins, whenever it may be, the Dallas Stars are in pretty good shape. They've got four natural centers on their team right now in Joe Pavelski, Roope Hintz, Jason Dickinson, and Radek Foxa. You've also got a couple of other guys that have played center before on the team, and this is a chance for Hintz and Dickinson, who played wing at certain times throughout the playoffs, let them get back to their natural position. You've got void fillers, Kenneth. It'll just be a matter of juggling the lines just right to where you can get the most productivity and the most efficiency out of each line. So other than that, we'll see where that goes, Kenneth. But obviously, an interesting tidbit from the David Pastrnak injury. We'll see just how long that recovery timetable is once Tyler Seguin does get the surgery. Might hear from Jim. No, we may not. But at that point, we'll just see how it goes. Kenneth, it's everything's up in the air right now, including the NHL season. So there's not a point to take too much stock in any of this right now, Kent, while everything's still so uncertain. But for the moment, looks as though the Stars will be without one of their top players for the first couple weeks, maybe the first couple months of the 2020-2021 NHL regular season, whenever it begins. But enough of that, Kent. We got to move on right around the corner. We got to wrap up day two of the 2020 NHL draft, which we have not talked about yet due to a logjam of plenty of other information and updates that we had to bring to you over the last week. But now we can get back to it, get to those final four picks that the Dallas Stars made. We'll talk more about each one of them and what they bring to the organization right around the corner when the Locked On Stars podcast continues in a moment.
Before we step away, if you're looking for parts for your car or truck, maybe some parts or auto parts or body parts for your car or truck, look no further than rockauto.com, a family-owned business that's served auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, the prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same whether you're a professional or a do-it-yourselfer. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. And while you're there, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Also, if you're like me, you may have a wall that you have to break through throughout your day. Maybe it's a mental wall, maybe a physical wall. For me, it's kind of that physical, that tired feeling that hits in the middle of the afternoon. Workday's wrapping up, you've got the evening ahead of you, and you've got to get a little bit of an energy boost. Look no further than Built Go for that energy boost. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It provides energy without the same crash feeling as some of those other products. It's natural, so it's better for the body too. They've got three flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein, which is a fast absorbing protein that gets into your system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with the good stuff that ignites your work: beta alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Collagen protein. Also, it promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Right now, our listeners can go to BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. Pardon me, that's promo code LOCKED, and get 20% off their next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
And we welcome you back here at the Locked On Stars podcast. Kenneth, It was a rough weekend for me in the world of fantasy football. Ending up tonight, going into Tuesday night with the Buffalo Bills and Tennessee Titans game, I had a really good shot at going like 3-1 in my leagues. And as a result, I went 0-4. That's just my luck this year. It's just some rotten luck, and I'm very disappointed in myself as a GM and as a head coach, and my lineup decisions, very, very poor choices across the board, as it turned out. Who would have guessed that Scotty Miller, who's averaging 11 points a game, would get zero, literally not a single target in the Tampa Bay game on Thursday night against the Bears. But regardless, enough of my pleas in the fantasy football world. I also wanted to throw out some mad respect, Kent. We have to show some respect here at the Locked On Stars podcast to Patrick Marleau. Because on Tuesday, Patrick Marleau signed a deal with the San Jose Sharks. Now, Kenneth, ask me why that is a significant newsworthy item.
Josh, why is that a significant newsworthy item?
That's a good question, Kenneth. And you want to know why that is a new... You do want to know because you just asked me. But anyways, going back to it, Patrick Marleau is 41 years old, Kenneth. And this is going to be his third tour of duty with the San Jose Sharks. Now, out of 22 seasons in the NHL, three different tours of duty, started out long-term with the San Jose Sharks, then went to Toronto, then went back to San Jose, then got traded to Pittsburgh at last year's deadline, and now is re-signing in San Jose yet again What a guy. What a determined athlete, Kenneth. At the age of 41, you can't help but give the man some respect. Put some respect on his name, Kenneth. I really hope you are, because I know I am.
Josh, that was such a witty and insightful anecdote.
Well, I am impressed. You know, if I'm 41 and I don't even think I'm in good shape to even play like junior hockey right now. But if I were 41 and in shape to play NHL hockey, wow, that's impressive. I have to say it. Got to put it out there. Got to throw the recognition where it needs to be thrown. And now we have to shift back to Dallas Stars world, Kenneth. Specifically, Dallas Stars prospects, 2020 NHL draft. Rounds 2 through 7. We've not touched on those yet, Kenneth. Not touched on what the Stars did. As you know from last week, Stars selected Maverick Bork 30th overall. If you haven't heard anything about Maverick Bork yet, we did a couple episodes ago. We spent a good bit of time talking about him and what he brings to the franchise. But moving on, Kenneth, to the final 6 rounds, the Stars ended up holding steady with where their picks were. They did not trade up. They did not trade down. They did not gain or lose any picks. So they ended up picking in their other 4 spots. One pick in the 4th round, 1 pick in the 5th, and 2 in the 6th rounds. And we're going to go ahead and do some quick hits on each player. Just what the Stars got from each player. Just who they drafted, Kenneth, why they drafted them, and what kind of ceiling they might have with this franchise. So let's just go ahead and go down the line with these final 4 picks. Starting in the 4th round at pick 123, Antonio Stranges from the London Knights. Kenneth, the first thing that comes to mind, if you haven't read about him or seen him so far, first thing that comes to mind about Antonio Stranges is his skating. It's a very unique style, a very unpredictable style. You don't see it very often, if at all, in the NHL. But it's a very threatening and deceptive style as well when he does it right, which he's learning to do it right, and he's been doing it right for a long time, kid. This 10-2 style, what do you know about it?
Yeah, so Antonio Stranges, the Stars' 4th round pick, 18-year-old from Plymouth, Michigan, 5'10", 170 pounds, left-handed shot, can play center or left wing, and obviously the thing that stands out about him is, like Josh said, that skating style, that 10-2 skating style. For people who are maybe a little bit more visual, I'll try to explain it visually while you can't actually see me. Thanks, Josh. When you think, obviously, most, when you think a lot of skaters, when they're going forward, it's a walking style kind of where the foot's going forward, the skate's going forward, and then pushing off from there. The toe is pointed forward. When you look at Stranges' skate, he's going side to side, and he's using those edge blades to propel himself. So it's instead of kind of skating with the toe forward and digging in and then pushing off from there, he's side to side and almost moving side to side, but at the same time moving forward. It's really strange. If you go on Twitter and type in Antonio Stranges, you'll see a video that went pretty viral after he was picked that kind of showed off his speed and skating style. But he's an elite skater. That's kind of been the scouting report on him. We talked about when we were talking about Maverick Bork and then talking about the rest of the draft, what it would look like for the Stars. They would look for guys that have maybe one or two carrying tools that look like they're NHL caliber tools, and then hope that those guys can develop maybe one or two other areas of their game, and alongside that elite tool might be able to make a run of it in the NHL. Stranges, his tool is definitely his skating ability. He's a flashy player. He's very quick, very good on the skates. He's a handful for defenders. If you look at the Elite Prospects 2020 NHL Draft Guide, little blurb about him: captivation, frustration, and awe, three emotions that London Knights forward Antonio Stranges inspires.
Sounds like a 5-star movie, Kenneth.
It does. And even better, sometimes he inspires those emotions on the same shift. So a lot of upside for Stranges. He's a player, when you kind of listen to some of the draft experts talk about him, he's a guy who a couple of years ago looked more like he was a higher up in the draft kind of pick. Hasn't quite developed other areas of his game like you'd hoped, but he's a talented player. He's coming from the OHL, like we said, London Knights. He's played 2 seasons with them. In 2018-19, he had 34 points in 66 games, including 13 goals. And then in 2019-20, 20 last season, 40 points in 61 games, upped that goal total to 19 goals. So a talented player, elite skater, young kid, an American. Always fun to have another U.S.-born player in the Stars organization. He's one to keep an eye on. He'll presumably return to the OHL whenever they get going once again and continue playing for the London Knights.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he, even following the pick, we talked to Stranges on Zoom, and he talked about how he likes to use that kind of, that skating to his advantage to deceive defenders, to trick defenders, to keep defenders on their toes, because with that wide stance and that wide base, he can do so many things. He can keep striding forward, he can stop on a dime, he can pass, he can shoot, he can really do it all from that position. So plenty of upside from Antonio Stranges. We'll see just how his future pans out with the Dallas Stars organization, as well as the other three guys at the Stars draft. We'll talk more about them right around the corner with the Locked On Stars podcast. Continues in a moment. And we are back here at the Locked On Stars podcast. Once again, happy Wednesday to all of you out there listening and tuning in. We're wrapping up this Wednesday episode. Kenneth, it is almost Wednesday now. It's 11:45 or so on Tuesday night. Kenneth is blinking a lot, which leads me to believe that he is tired.
I'll get something in my eye.
Oh, that too. Yes, might have something stuck in his eye, but
we're good.
Regardless,
we're good.
All right, he's all good. Take you off the IR. Let's get back to draft coverage. Kenneth, let's continue wrapping up the Stars 2020 NHL draft. We talked about Maverick Bork. We talked about Antonio Strong just now. Three more players to get through, starting in the fifth round with a Swedish forward, Kenneth. Daniel, now it's been pronounced both ways that we've heard. Daniel Lungman or Daniel Youngman. L-J-U-N-G-M-A-N. I think we do have a couple Swedish people that listen to our podcast, Kenneth. So hopefully one of them can help us in the replies on Twitter, help us to pronounce it correctly moving forward. We've heard it both ways. Joe Migdanell said it Lungman, but looking up the pronunciation in Swedish on Google, it was Youngman. So regardless though, Kenneth, Swedish forward, what do we know about him?
Yeah, Lungman, that's what I'm going to roll with since that's what we heard from the Stars brass, how we heard it pronounced. Lungman, a center, 18-year-old center. He's the youngest of the Stars draft picks, born April 3rd, 2002. But he's a pretty big kid for an 18-year-old, 6 feet tall, 176 pounds, pretty lean, left-handed shot once again. The report on him seems to be he's a smart, high hockey IQ player with a good wrist shot. That's where you kind of draw when you look at some of the scouting reports around. You look at elite prospects once again, their little blurb about him distinguishes himself with maturity, high-end ability to anticipate developing plays. His best weapon is his wrist shot. So that's encouraging. You know, you look at those tools, like we said, with Stranges, it was his skating. It sounds like with Lungman, it's going to be his IQ and his wrist shot ability, which it's always nice to have somebody who is a prolific goal scorer, has the ability to put the puck in the back of the net. Also of note, he has at least the one little note from Elite Prospects. It says there's few players at his age that can boast his defensive credibility, so potentially a little bit of a two-way forward as well. I'm going to attempt to pronounce his the team he currently plays for in Sweden.
Okay, let's, here we go.
Linköping. I butchered that, I know. Please let me know. I'm so sorry. I am not good with European names. We've had this conversation before. I'm terrible with European names.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good with names of kind of Latin American or Spanish descent. Not very good with European names. But anyways, in 2019-20, he had played 40 games with them, 23 points. But this year, playing for that same team, 11 games into the season, Josh, 16 total points, including 11 goals and a +7 rating. So he's off to a phenomenal start. A very, very talented goal scorer, potentially, it seems, at least especially with that wrist shot. So be another one to watch how he develops. A young kid, just turned 18 in April. And he's playing overseas currently, so he looks like he's still in season. So he's one we might be able to track a little bit closer over the next couple of months until we figure out how some of the local picks, the North American picks, continue to how their seasons start and how they continue to progress.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's one of those guys that is currently playing right now, Kenneth, which not a lot of junior hockey players can say, especially in North America. So certainly interesting to see how he progresses, and as you mentioned here, the two-way forward, and just like the majority of the Stars picks this year, it seems like they really were aiming for a hockey IQ, high hockey IQ, great hockey sense, and certainly getting that in Daniel Lungman or Youngman. Moving on, though, Kenneth, perhaps, and this is an interesting one, because Antonio Stranges, a very, as you said, captivating player, but perhaps an even more captivating pick for the Dallas Stars in the sixth round, with Yevgeny Oksentiuk. Now, this was their first of two picks in the sixth round, and one of the first interesting tidbits about him is that he is a former teammate of a current Dallas Stars first-round draft pick in Ty Dellandrea. They both played in Flint together with the Flint Firebirds, and it seemed as though they were a pretty big 1-2 punch down in the OHL together, Kenneth.
Yeah, Oksentiuk is actually the third pick from the Flint Firebirds the Stars have taken in the NHL draft in the past 5 years, alongside Dellandrea and Nick Camano. So the Stars obviously comfortable selecting from that Flint Firebirds organization. Oksentiuk is the oldest of the Stars draft picks, 19-year-old, born February of 2001 from Belarus. He's a small guy, 5'8", 163 pounds, can play on either wing. He is a flashy, flashy player, and you love to see it. If like Stranges, he's got a viral video out there. If you haven't seen it, you should be able to search his name as well. Out on Twitter, he's got a bit of a lacrosse goal, picks up the puck on his stick behind the net and flips it over the goalie's shoulder on a wraparound. And then he hits one of the best sellies I've ever seen. Moonwalks into the ref. But he's a talented, kind of flashy player, a lot of upside. He's an offense kind of guy. He, like we said, he played with the Flint Firebirds last year, led the Flint Firebirds in points last season. So we talked about how amazing Ty Dellandrea's year was. Yevgeny Oksentiuk outproduced him in terms of points. 58 games, he had 78 points for the Firebirds in the OHL, 33 goals, 45 assists, was a plus 13. The question with him, obviously, when you see a guy that size, 5'8", under 170 pounds, that's always going to be the question. How does that body hold up? Can he put on some muscle and some durability to play in the NHL, or is he quick enough to avoid the heavy hits and withstand some of the beat down that the NHL can be? But he's a talented player, good with the puck on his stick, and then a good goal scorer as well, can create. So a high upside pick, lots of offensive talent, just 19, probably going to return, return potentially to OHL, although he's playing in Belarus right now, actually, for Yunost Minsk. He's got one assist in the first seven games of the season there. Different league, but that is his home country. So we'll see how he develops playing for them. That is the Stars' first sixth-round pick, Yevgeny Oksentiuk.
And funny story about that, Kenneth, about him being over in Belarus, is that when he was drafted, shortly after the draft, when we were talking to Joe Migdanel, he brought up the fact that they had called his agent, and his agent had said to not phone him because he was asleep because of the time difference getting ready for a game day. And so I think it was Sean Shapiro that asked,
He had an assist in that next game.
Yes. John Shapiro said, does he know that he's been drafted? And Joe Migdanel said, from what I know, I don't think he knows quite yet. So he slept through the draft, but he knows. But it was for a good cause, Kenneth, because he went out and had a great game. So that's what you want from a player. And as you said, Kenneth, 5'8", certainly you don't see many 5'8" players in the NHL. But the Stars really, from what Joe Migdanel said, they really do think that he could have a chance. And as Migdanel said, he's got high-end skill, and he's competitive. Everybody that has seen him play said that other than the skill level, it's the compete level. If you're not of 6-foot stature, as long as your compete level's off the charts, you have a chance. So certainly a guy to keep an eye on in the Star system in the coming years. And finally, Kenneth, wrapping it up in the sixth round with a goaltender in Remy Poirier from one of the great names, Kenneth, the Gatineau Olympiques.
Yeah, the QMJHL has phenomenal
names. Shawinigan Cataracts.
Yeah,
Gatineau Olympiques.
It's absolutely phenomenal. But yeah,
that's Poirier, Quebec, baby.
the final pick of the Stars 2020 draft, the second 19-year-old they take, born October of 2001, so just turned 19, really a couple of, I guess like a week ago. 6'2" goaltender, left-handed catches left-handed. I wasn't sure how I was about to phrase that sentence. But
don't say catcher. Don't say catcher. It's not baseball.
Yeah, a big guy for a 19-year-old. Interesting. He's going into his third season in the QMJHL, and he's improved. He's improved each year. It seems like 2018-19, he played 19 games, had a .378 goals allowed average, an .890 save percentage. You go to last season, 2019-20, he played 45 games, so a bigger uptick in appearances, .349 goals allowed average, .900 save percentage. And then so far this year, he's played in 4 games for the Olympiques, .294 goals allowed average, and a .919 save percentage. So it looks like he might be trending in the right direction. It is obviously an adjustment to make the jump to the QMJHL from the level he was playing at prior. So he's growing. He's obviously started out with them at what, 17 years old, and it will continue to develop, I'm sure, at that level over the next couple of years. And the Stars are going to hope that, you know, he can continue to get better, continue to show some stuff, and maybe in a few years he's competing for a spot maybe with the Texas Stars in the AHL, and potentially could be a long-term goalie option in the NHL if he can, especially I think the hope when you take a guy in the sixth round, a goalie in the sixth round, is you go, he's got the size, maybe has a couple of the tools that you look for, whether it's vision, whether it's, you know, reactions, whatever it may be, and that he can turn into maybe that third goalie level caliber player, kind of bouncing back to in the AHL and in the back of the NHL. And if you get more than that, you absolutely hit a home run.
Yeah, and just for reference sake, Kenneth, Colton Point was a fifth round pick a couple years ago for the Stars in the 2016 draft, and now he's expected to back up Jake Ottinger in the AHL next year. So with goaltenders, it's a bit of a different scale. You know, it's a bit different than if you're picking a forward or a defenseman in the seventh or sixth round. That's really a long shot. Goaltenders, you don't usually see them go in the first round, sometimes not even in the second round, Kent. They're usually later on in the drafts. And as a result, we'll see where Remy Poirier ends up with the Dallas Stars down the road. But until then, Kenneth, that will wrap it up for the 2020 NHL Draft. Stars definitely taking, from an outsider's perspective, Kenneth, definitely taking a bit of a gamble on, as many people said, skill over size, skilled players, playmakers that have upside, and as you mentioned, Kenneth, have one or two really strong traits that could end up helping them develop into full-time NHLers down the road.
Yeah, and it makes some sense because you're looking at organizational structure and how their organization is constructed. You look at their NHL roster; it's kind of got a good mix. It's a little bit veteran heavy, but a good mix of veterans. And they've got some quite talented young players. You drop down to kind of the AHL level or the top of their prospect charts. You've got a couple of high end prospects. Thomas Harley, Ty Dellandrea lead that group alongside Jake Ottinger. And then there's a little bit of a drop-off. Jason Robertson is in and around that mix. And then you've got a drop-off, and then it's solid guys who project to maybe be depth players at the NHL level. So you're trying to kind of fill out that middle range, so it makes sense to take some risks, take some chances on some guys who maybe high upside, but also could be a little bit high risk, high reward. And maybe maybe if you hit on one of them, that's a really successful draft. Obviously, Bork seems like he could be a pretty quality NHL caliber player. And then if you can hit on one or two of these other guys, that if they play, you know, any role at the NHL level for the Dallas Stars, that's a very, very successful draft.
Absolutely, and that's what you're looking for. And as we've seen over the past couple of years in general, Kenneth, Dallas Stars have had some good drafts, some successful drafts as well. You know, just rattling off a couple names from the get-go over the past 3 or 4 years, Kent, that we now see in the NHL. Dennis Gurianov, Roope Hintz, and jeez, for Dennis Gurianov, that's now 5 years now. That seems like a long time ago, Kenneth. And yet, Dennis Gurianov still in his rookie season and still very young and still going to be signed by the Stars here in the near future to a new contract, as well as Roope Hintz. We talked about that on Monday. But other than that, Kenneth, not a whole lot of offseason business left for the Dallas Stars to take care of in this 2020 offseason. But obviously, the NHL draft, always an important time in restocking the cupboard for the years to come. And by most people's projections, Kenneth, the Dallas Stars did a really good job at restocking that cupboard and getting their talent pool back to full or near full, Kenneth, to move on for the future, build for the future, as they're always trying to do. But other than that, Kenneth, You know, we need to get to NHL Central Division trades and signings, but we're already at 34 minutes here in this podcast, and we don't want to make our bosses unhappy, Kenneth. We don't want to make them unhappy with overshooting episodes by 10 to 15 minutes. So we're going to save that topic for tomorrow. We're going to talk about the other six teams in the Central Division, just what they did in the first couple days of the offseason, who they lost, who they gained, and just how much of an impact it's going to have on them moving into the 2020-2021 season. But until then, that's about all we've got for this Wednesday episode. And Kenneth, any final thoughts for us before we close up shop?
As always, make sure to hit subscribe wherever you're listening to the podcast so we show up in your feed every single day. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnStars. We have now crossed the 400 follower mark. Absolutely absurd that we've gotten that high. When we took over the account and took over this podcast, we were, I think, in the third, somewhere around 30, maybe 20, anywhere from like 25 to like 35.
Somewhere around there.
Around there, and in less than a year, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of a very weird playoff bubble, we're up to over 400 Twitter followers, which is absolutely unbelievable. So continue doing what you do there. Follow us on Twitter if you haven't already, at Locked On Stars, and you can follow our personal accounts as well. I'm at Kenneth_Nash19, and Josh is at Josh_Clark02.
And once again, thank you for the support. Thank you for the continued kind words, Ken. Thank you for the continued interest in the Locked On Stars podcast. Thank you for continuing to support us, continuing to follow along on this entertaining ride. That's the best word for it, Kenneth. After these past seven months, it's been an entertaining ride, Kenneth, but we're happy to be here. We're happy to continue bringing you off-season content. Got some really special guests lined up over the next couple weeks that we'll get to as we dive into the dog days of the 2020 off-season, getting you ready for that next season that's hopefully right around the corner. But until then, have a great Wednesday. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.